Well, hey, folks, this is Chris Brown, and I cannot encourage you enough to make a plan for your money and learn what the Bible has to say about money when you order Financial Peace University with a copy of the Legacy Journey ebook by Dave Ramsey. Get this incredible deal for only $99 when you use the promo code Chris Brown with no spaces. Check it all out at stewardship.com.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, greetings to you from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions. My name is Chris Brown, and I'm your host of Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We are taking your calls and your emails today, so feel free to call in at 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283, or you can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Well, hello and happy Easter to you. I know that, we got Easter week is here, and I don't know what's going through your head. I don't know if you're excited about Easter. Well, you should be. You should be. If you are a believer, if you believe in Jesus Christ, we are celebrating the resurrection of our Savior. How amazing is that, right? And maybe you're just, in a bum mood. But that should wake you up. That should make a difference. I don't know if you have that outfit picked out for Sunday. For those of you with kids, do you have their outfit picked out? You bought all the plastic eggs for all the egg hunts and the candy. Such a fun holiday, right? Well, there's nothing wrong with those things, but let me be an encouragement to you here. We're a few days out. Let's not let that take the primary focus of this holiday. Let's remember what we're focusing in on. Those things are not bad, but if they take the forefront and we forget what the holiday is all about, that is a disaster. That is not good news. I don't know if you know this research or not, but Americans spend $1.9 billion on Easter candy. But that's with a B. $1.9 billion. That's the second biggest candy holiday after Halloween. 70% of Easter candy purchased is chocolate. I don't know if that's your favorite, but 70% is chocolate. And speaking of chocolate, those Easter bunny, the chocolate Easter bunnies, what do you eat first on the chocolate Easter bunny? 76% of Americans think that the ears of a chocolate bunny should be the first to be eaten. I don't know if you follow along with that research or not, but that's what the research shows. Very important stuff here at Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Well, before we get to your calls, let me remind you that you can order Financial Peace University today and receive the Legacy Journey ebook by Dave Ramsey for only $99 when you use the code Chris Brown with no spaces. All you got to do is visit stewardship.com for all the details. And while you're there, be sure to check out the incredible events that are coming up in a city near you. I just finished events in Orlando and Tampa, South Dakota, Minnesota, and South Carolina, and Dallas all over the last month. And I've thoroughly enjoyed meeting you all and got plenty of events still going on throughout the spring. So make sure you check those out. I would love to meet everybody. Again, the number is 866-357-3283. And first on the line from my hometown, from Charlotte, North Carolina, this is Patrick. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, how you doing, Chris?
How can I serve you today?
So I had a question. I have a small landscaping company that I just started, and I'm almost 100% debt-free. I have a sedan that I'm paying off. It's a 2011. It's a great vehicle. And I'm kind of trying to decide, okay, this is great. I'm going to have a paid-for vehicle. But trying to run a landscaping company with a sedan is pretty counterproductive.
Yeah.
I don't know if it makes sense to go ahead and just save up cash now that I have a paid for vehicle and just get, kind of a beater $5,000 truck that I can use as my company vehicle, or once my car is paid off, go ahead and sell it but then I'm stuck with my one vehicle being the truck, being my company vehicle and my personal car. And I guess I'm just kind of leery to do that second option.
Uh-huh.
So I guess that's my question. If you have any input, you know, which, I mean, it wouldn't take me too long to save up, like I said, about $5,500. Uh-huh. And that's kind of what I'm leaning towards.
Yeah, yeah. What's the downside for you sharing this vehicle for business purposes and for personal? What's your main concern?
I guess just that it would depreciate quicker because I'm using it, you know, it's going to have mulch and everything in the back, so it's kind of getting beat up. And then if I take a trip, you know, a couple of states away to see a friend, it's just a lot of wear and tear on the same vehicle.
Is it a big strain on you financially to have these two vehicles?
I don't think it would be. I haven't called and asked about insurance because obviously I would, you know, want to carry insurance on both vehicles.
Yeah.
So there'd be more expenses, but I think in the long run, I would thank myself for doing that. And either way I go, it's going to be a business expense when I'm purchasing the vehicle. So
right.
that'll be a plus come tax time.
Well, I think, you know, just looking at it from a financial standpoint only, the cheaper option is to have one vehicle, not two, from the insurance standpoint.
Right.
Even if you chose a truck that's a little bit nicer and you just took better care of it, the inside, you know, wasn't torn up, and you all the bed obviously would be a mess, and I'm sure you're pulling a trailer and all that kind of stuff. But
right.
The you know, I've seen plenty of landscape companies that have, they keep a very nice truck in the front, and you could do that. Of course, you'd have to put down some mats for the floor, but that's the cheaper version. But starting off a new venture, for me, I would much rather have more liquid cash and have more options than have my margin or my my money tied up in a piece of metal that's sitting in the driveway. But if for
right.
you, if you feel like it's not going to put too much strain on you, then go for it. But anytime you're starting a new business, I want to make that new business as risk-free as possible, and I want to get 6 months into it and see what the volume's going to be first before I start making any major purchases. So combining the two in the beginning kind of limits risk. And then maybe 6 months in, 8 months in, 9 months in, and you've got some steady clients and you've got some one-year contracts or whatever it might be, or maybe nailed some commercial deals or something. Now you're saying, you know what, now it makes sense to possibly have two vehicles. But for 6 months or 9 months, you're just making sure that the inside stays really clean so that when you are, you know, taking a little getaway or you're doing something on a personal side, that it's not a disaster up front and you can actually enjoy your vehicle. So I mean, it's
sure.
You can go either way. I don't see anything that's sticking out to me that's horrible on either side. Of course, the biggest takeaway, and I'm sure you know this already, but my listeners need to hear this, is that you know, nothing needs to be borrowed. There needs to be no car payments, regardless.
Right. Yeah. Definitely not. And I guess part of it is the sedan that I have. It's a 2011, and there's about 112,000 miles on it, so it's not in. The mileage isn't too bad. It's running great. You know, it's a very good vehicle. And I think part of it is it just pains me to think, oh, this is my last debt, and I've struggled for so long to get through this. And then immediately, you know, I get rid of the car.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's, you know, it's just a vehicle. So it's not.
Right,
just
right.
Just metal. That's all it is. I got to separate my emotional.
Yeah,
from it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think, you know, just I don't see anything wrong with either one. Just know that you're making the conscious decision that you are going to have less liquid cash available because
right.
you are making a conscious choice to leave whatever that vehicle's worth in the form of metal in your driveway, so that you can
right.
have two vehicles, even though you don't need. I don't hear that you need two vehicles. So just so you know, you're doing it. But at any time where the tension got, you know, a little bit thick, or you wanted to buy a new piece of equipment, you know that you could liquidate that anytime you wanted to. So I just wouldn't hurry into the decision. I would actually see kind of where the chips are going to fall, to have your first good spring or your first fall, you know, those really summer for you for landscaping, but that first good season, and see what the volume is going to be and then make a decision. I wouldn't make it yet.
Okay. That sounds great. Thanks so much.
Hey, are you aware of our Entre Leadership book? I want to give that to you. Do you have that yet?
No, I would love a copy. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to send it to you because it talks all about the playbook here at Ramsey Solutions, but not now that we're 530, you know, folks strong. It's really about how we've built the company, not we, I should say Dave, built the company all the way from, it's sitting right there around his card table, and now it is 530 folks. But it talks about all those tensions of trying as hard as he can to be disciplined and not overexpand too fast and make good, wise decisions along the journey. So I want to give that to you, okay?
Oh, that would be incredible because that's what I, even though it's a landscaping company, I really do want to grow it to where it's a very large company, and I want to put a succession plan in place, and hopefully if I have kids, they're interested, and anyone that works for me, you know, I'll take a personal interest in them and their family, and I want it to be, you know, I want to be the first landscaping company that people know about all over, and they know that, man, if you're okay laying bricks, that is a great company to work for.
Mm, yeah.
I mean, right now, it's just me and my car, but, I mean, I have the vision to really make this thing something different, and my clients are, I've been very fortunate with the clients I have so far, and them telling me just things that they'd like to see and why they choose me over, you know, someone else that might be in business 20 years. So
right.
Reading that book would just do nothing but you know, put me in a better place to make my future happen how I would like for it to.
Well, good. You stay on the line. Amanda will get your address, and we'll mail it to you.
Okay, great. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, Patrick. Well, folks, of course, you can call in or you can email in. And got an email here from Jacob. He says, hey, Chris, I'm recently debt-free. Yes, I'm 25 years old. I make $15,000 per year washing dishes, but have a $5,000 lifestyle. I have $2,000 out of my $10,000 working on my emergency fund. Jacob, you don't need $10,000 for your emergency fund. You don't need that much. You only need about $3,000 to $6,000. However, my personality as a nerd and number cruncher has distracted me from seeking a better line of employment or even saying yes to missions opportunities. Do you have any practical advice for me? Jacob, first of all, congrats being debt-free. Good job on that. If I were to be real blunt with you, Jacob, you got 168 hours a week and you're 25 years old. And I'm not sure about all the variables of your situation, but if I'm just being real, if I'm being clear and I'm being kind, number crunching should not take so long. Number crunching should not take you away from job searching and from maybe working multiple jobs. You should be able to do both. And a budget of $15,000 shouldn't take a whole lot of number crunching anyway, especially when you have that much margin, you don't have much debt. So something's wrong there. And I would just encourage you at 25 years old, you need to be making more money. So either it's a higher paying job or it's multiple jobs, but the $15,000 a year is not going to be an easy road for you if you continue to make that throughout your adulthood. So my practical advice for you is to work on the income side. I don't see any red flags when it comes to the expense side. The money or the lack thereof or some kind of money issue is holding people back from living the life that they've always wanted. Is this something that you can relate to? Would taking control of your money allow you to focus on what's important, like your marriage or your family? Well, if you need a plan to get out of debt and save for the future, then Financial Peace University is the class for you. Financial Peace University has helped over 4 million people change their future by learning how to manage their money God's way, not the world's way. And right now, when you order Financial Peace University, you also get The Legacy Journey, The Legacy Journey ebook by Dave Ramsey. Now, this incredible limited time deal will get you started making a plan for your money and tell you exactly what the Bible says about building wealth and about giving. And right now, we have hundreds of classes starting all across the country. Just visit stewardship.com and use the promo code Chris Brown with no spaces and get this amazing deal for only $99. That's right, $99. Use the promo code Chris Brown with no spaces to get Financial Peace University and the Legacy Journey ebook for only $99. Find all the details out at stewardship.com.
We appreciate you joining us today for Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Remember, we want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory.
Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now let's get back to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
This next call comes in from Albany, Wisconsin. This is Marion. Marion, how are you?
Hi. Oh, I'm doing good, Chris. How are you?
I'm very well. How can I serve you?
Good. Well, I have a question today about a family farm, actually. My husband is a farmer with partners of his brother and his parents.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much all of our future investments are in the farm.
Okay.
And my husband doesn't have, we don't have sons, and his brother does have sons. So they're going to continue to farm, and we are not sure that it's best for us to continue to farm within the family farm. So what we want to do is take our investments out of the farm and put them into our own farm. We have a farm that we're thinking about buying. It's fairly close to where we are now, and it's going to take all of our investments from this farm and half again as much to buy this other farm. Mm-hmm. And then we'd be going out on our own. So we are really questioning whether, God really wants us to go into debt again. The farms here are paid for. So on that end, it's very successful.
What would your proceeds be when you walk away?
Probably close to $1 million.
Okay. What would you need to finance to start over?
We would need 1.9 to buy the other farm.
Okay. Okay. So you're walking away with $1 million and you need to finance another $1 million.
Yes.
Okay. I sense the legitimacy of the reason why. I can see the logic behind mm-hmm. that completely. I think some of the pressure you're feeling, you can get really lost in this question. You can get lost in the family dynamic, and you can get lost in the
so many ways.
Yeah, right. And then the farm dynamic, you can get lost in that because within the farming industry, there's some uniqueness there for sure. But let me pull up a little bit for all of our listeners and for you and I as well. I think the pressure you're feeling is not a farming thing, and the pressure you're feeling is not a family thing. If you pull up a little bit further and look at this, what I think you're feeling is a lack of diversification. You right mm-hmm. now have all your chips in one basket, and you've got a chance to walk away with $1 million that mm-hmm. now that $1 million has options. It was tied up. Now it's not. And now you actually can do what Ecclesiastes 11:2 says about spreading to 7 to 8. You never know what's going to fall upon the land. And you can diversify now. But to go into another parcel, which you're going to put all your eggs into another basket and go an additional $1 million into debt.
Right.
Whether you like farming or not, let's just say you like it. Hey, listen, with $1 million you have, go buy a small parcel, buy a few goats, and do some like minor farming to scratch that itch without going $1 million into debt, and diversify those funds and let your money work for you. That's just the way I'm wired. Financially speaking, I don't like you going $1 million in debt to start your own farm. I really don't. Even though I can totally see the pressure you're feeling and the logic behind it, there's nothing in me that if I put this up against the parable of the talents and I talk about, hey, listen, I gave you one talent, I gave you three talents, I gave you five, I gave you 10 talents, and you came back. I don't see in that passage in the parable of the talents where it's like, yes, you came back with interest, you made it more, but it wasn't, you didn't borrow to do it. And I don't want you to borrow to do it. And debt is, there is no such thing as good debt. I don't care what anyone tells you. And debt is just vision quicksand. So I don't know what the vision is for your life, but you're going to feel, let's just say it's a Tuesday morning, 3 months from now, you wake up and you just, you know what? You're just not in the mood. And you're just like, you don't have an option not to. You're in bondage to that that farm. You're owns you. You're not running the farm. The farm's owning you. And so I would like to avoid that if I can.
Okay. My husband's logic to it is we would, if we took the money out of this farm, we would have to roll it into another farm. Otherwise, we'd have to pay so much tax on it.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like a 10, 31, I think it is what he called it. But otherwise, if we just take this money out and, you know, buy a small farm, I guess we could put it into that. But then we're still going to look at paying taxes, which I don't mind paying taxes. My husband, as a farmer, he hates paying taxes. But we, you know, that's just the way he has been.
Well, on that amount of money, on that amount of money, you're talking about some considerable tax. It's probably about 400 grand. The 1031 exchange, I would definitely check with one of our ELPs on the tax side. Oh, and when I say ELPs, I mean our endorsed local providers. You can find out more information about them at stewardship.com. But on the tax side and on the real estate side, because they're going to know more details about the 1031 exchange, first of all.
Sure.
Because I don't know if it has to go from farm to farm or if it just has to go to farm into farm into other real estate. That's a big difference. Because if it has to go farm to farm, then you're stuck in the same profession. And then the tax side, it's a big difference in whether it's going to be $250K or it's going to be $400K on the tax penalty. But right now, if I'm making a quick decision, I still want it diversified. This is like a total release from you're signing up for your whole life to be around this parcel. There's nothing wrong with farming at all.
Right.
At all. I'm not ripping on the industry. Right. Actually, I've got a lot of admiration for it. I just think if you've got an out, from the standpoint of being in bondage to something or someone, you've kind of got an out. And I go back to Ecclesiastes 11:2. I mean, I don't want you in bondage to one parcel. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
If you get, if you have an option,
that's the feeling that I've been having, and that's we've been through a lot of counseling with our pastor, and he's all for splitting up the partnership and doing that, but he isn't exactly for debt either. I mean, that's the last thing we want.
I think your concern is legitimate. So if you can get an out and keep your family intact and everything's great, I like that.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you very much. That's been very helpful.
All right. Thanks for the call. Next call comes in from Lafayette, New Jersey. This is Bob. Bob, how can I help you?
Real quick. First of all, thanks for, appreciate you taking the call. And I'll give you a real quick financial history. So we have a mortgage of about 18.5 with like two and a half years left on it. Two auto loans totaling 16.5 with about 3.5 years balance on them. No other debt. But we have and we're actually currently taking a financial peace course at our church, my wife and myself. We're like halfway through that. So we've become aware of the whole life policies. Dave doesn't really, he kind of frowns upon that. So we have a whole life policy with a cash value equal to the auto loans. So my question to you would be, should we use the whole life cash value of, it's approximately 16.5. It would wipe out the two auto loans or even put it towards what's left of the mortgage, the 18.5.
I absolutely love it. I love cashing out that whole life policy, but here's how. How young are you?
59.
Very young. Okay. So, here's the way I would do it. I would go out and I would see one of our ELP insurance professionals, one of our endorsed local providers. You can find them out more information on stewardship.com. And I would talk to them about your options when it comes to term insurance. And I would seek that out, ask some questions. And when that term insurance is, this is the term you're looking for, in full effect.
Okay.
When it is in motion and it is 100% official, that's when you'll cash out the whole life policy, but not until then. The worst thing in the world you could do is cash out that whole life policy, and then you're not insurable because of something, and that would be that would not be good news.
Right. Yeah. I actually do have a term policy, in effect.
Okay.
I've had one. I'm not sure that the it's due to expire in the next year or so. I'd have to check on that, but I certainly wouldn't want to be without life insurance.
Right. And I would make sure that you've got the right amounts and you feel really good about that new one and you've talked to a professional and they're walking you through the reason why we think that you have the right amount and here's the we recommend that you have 10 to 12 times your annual salary in that term insurance. So if you've got that in full effect, then boom, cash that thing out and pay off those loans. I love it.
Okay.
If there's a way where you can sell one of the cars or you can downgrade one of the cars where all that money doesn't have to go towards that, and then you could pay off one, downgrade the other, and then put some money towards your mortgage, then you win all around. cars versus mortgage is cars first. A depreciating asset, we want to never pay interest on that for sure, on a depreciating asset. So let's get rid of that first.
Okay, that makes sense.
All right, thank you for the call.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Well, folks, great conversations today. Remember, get a plan with your money and learn exactly what the Bible says about building wealth when you order Financial Peace University and get the Legacy Journey ebook by Dave Ramsey for only $99. Use the promo code Chris Brown with no spaces at stewardship.com to take advantage of this amazing deal. And of course, while you're there at stewardship.com, don't forget to sign up for the weekly stewardship.com newsletter. If you want to be encouraged weekly. Folks, until next time, let's continue to manage God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.